You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Well, well, well. Jay Hargrave, Gus Kattengill, join the intern. We've made it to the weekend. You've made it to the weekend. We'll officially welcome you. Can't talk until you hear it. But we can tell you what's coming up on today's show. A fun one. Rafael Esparza just sat down. He's going to have a little lunch. Then he's going to come on and give us his odds. We'll talk about a handful of really fun games, I think, in the NFL, and some fun games coming up in college football. We'll address that. Also at 105, Barry Hurstius. He thinks the Saints are owed an apology from Comrade Goodell and the NFL.
You think?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll play something that Sean Payton did this week or came out this week, in which it's really the first time that he's openly addressed flat out the bounty gate and said the league was out to get him. So we'll play that and get your take in hour number two on that. Ken Berthelot's going to stop by here in person around 1:30. He called a awesome game yesterday, Ponchatoula and Slidell. LSU, Tulane, both getting commitments and players from that game. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that and the Waves game going up against Cincinnati as well in a 2 o'clock hour. You know and love him, Marlon Favorite, Gator.
The big fave.
I'll ask him what it was like to go play in the swamp. And where is that rank? What, you know, if he can rank me some stadiums as to where is the toughest place.
I think that's
to
up
play.
There.
I you think the swamp
yeah.
is, honestly?
Yeah, I think it's a tough place to
I
play.
I went, man, look, it wasn't an SEC game. I get it. I went with Southern Miss, played Auburn.
Right.
I mean, Florida. I'll get it eventually. You know. I was expecting more. I thought it would be bigger. I thought it was, you know.
I don't get me wrong.
It was fun.
I think being an SEC school, I think it's a rivalry. Florida just seems to be that school that's a rivalry with everybody.
We'll touch on that. It's our question of the day. Give us predictions, keys, what have you, to LSU and Florida, because we normally do the Saints. They don't play until Monday, though. So prediction time and keys to the game is after the weekend. In the meantime, Jay Hargrave.
Well, you know, we could go on and on about this with football.
No, well, we will.
I think we should.
We will.
I think we should keep going right
after
now.
After Becca welcomes you to the weekend.
I got to try to play defense.
It's I know.
Did you just refer to her as Becca?
Becca.
Yeah, they have pet names for each other.
Well, I mean, seeing as in January the Sports Hangover will turn 9. Or is it 10? I think it's 10. I don't know. We started.
You don't even know your own birthday?
It's been 10
well,
for the past
2 years.
We
started in 2010, so we'll go with 9 or 10, however you want to look at it.
Well, you know that's given Larry Holder a hostile takeover. Larry just added fuel that you don't even know how old the show is, Gus.
Well, regardless. Oh, look, Joey doing the mix. You hear him? Fading in and out.
It doesn't make a difference. It's still bad.
No, it makes a little more techno.
No,
like
it's still bad.
No, I like it. That's Joey back in the LaRose studios. 800-998-1003 is the number to call. If you like to tweet at us, it's at ESPN Radio NOLA. Jordan, the intern, has got plenty of questions of the day and topics that we'll be going throughout the day. Pels will have their third preseason game of the year tonight against the New York Knicks. So we can talk a little bit about that, what we've seen so far in two preseason games. And look, I get it's preseason, but we're getting closer to the October 17th tip-off of the regular season against Houston, an important homestand. And in a really early test, 5 straight road games, which will be hard for them. And we'll see just how good they'll be.
It's good to know that it's not just the NFL that dislikes New Orleans, that the NBA does too.
Well, now you think the NBA dislikes them? Why?
5 road games to start the season?
Well, no. It's after 4 home games.
Oh, okay. I haven't looked at the schedule yet.
It's towards the end of October when that takes place.
I thought you meant 5 to start the season.
I apologize now for the coughing. Doing my best to try to fight through this here.
You're playing injured.
Most I can do here. So the things that I think we'll address that's going to be fun on the show here is so many storylines really to talk about the Saints and the Redskins coming up on Monday, Jay. And, of course, Mark Ingram's return. We'll hear from him. Drew Brees about to break the record for Peyton Manning, most yards ever in the NFL. We'll hear from him. Sean Payton had his conference call this morning. It's It was short. Not really much to kind of get into. You can tell he's in lockdown focus mode, because I'll ask you this, and we haven't since last week. A quarter of the season is now in the books. What's the one thing you take away from the Saints in their 3-1 start?
You know, if you could just go back and replay that Tampa Bay game, I think the Saints took the Buccaneers a little lightly. I think they wish they could have that back. But other than that game and that loss, I think the season is going perfectly so far. You haven't had the major injury.
Right.
Knock on wood, and let's pray to God that doesn't happen. But you're winning exactly how I want you to win right now.
Really?
You're not playing a good game, but you're still winning. Sean's got plenty of things to yell at. Sean's got plenty of things to get on the team about at practice. Mm. He's got plenty of things to improve on, and his team just keeps sitting back on, we can play better, we can play better. And come November, that's when you want to see him kick it into gear.
So it's kind of like what I said yesterday really on this show, and I agree with you. I think one thing that's a huge positive is the Saints have come nowhere near playing their best football.
Oh, not even close.
It's not even close. And they are having great starts by three players on offense. You're starting to see some signs on defense of some really nice plays being made by some guys maybe starting to find their roles and their spot on this defense. DeMario Davis stands out to me, right?
Davenport.
Marcus Davenport.
Starting to make some plays.
Starting to see some comfort level there. I'm somewhat almost, if this makes sense, I like hearing Sean Payton say Marcus Williams is getting better, because I don't think we've seen his best ball.
No.
I don't think we've seen Marshawn Lattimore's best ball as well. Because I remember the last couple of weeks we've talked about this. I think it's been a communication issue, really, in that back end.
I think that's fair.
And Payton addressed that yesterday in his conference call, in which he said, look, you know, this is what he had to say about Marcus Williams in terms of his play. Now, listen to the question was, what do you think of his play so far this season, right? Do you think he's playing as well as we thought? Because remember, during training camp, Jay, everyone was telling you he was going to have a breakout year. I mean, the guy was getting an interception of practice, you know?
Yeah.
And we kind of haven't seen that. We've seen a lot of balls get over the top, which we didn't see last year. This was Sean.
Listen, I thought he played well last week. And I think he's one of our better defensive players. I think he's smart. And, you know, he's someone naturally the ball comes to. So I think when you get into some plans and there's movement and a change of strength, you know, the communication is something we're constantly working on and we have to be able to work on so that we're all on the same page. But I think he played – real well in this pass game.
AJ Klein.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online oldsaint.com.
Do you know if you have the right insurance coverage? Or do you feel like you're paying too much for your car, home, or business insurance? Look, if you hesitated, you need to contact Bourgeois Insurance in Thibodaux. Owner agent Price Bourgeois will personally help you find the coverage you need. And because he's an independent agent, he can find the right coverage that fits your budget. Hey, there shouldn't be any doubts about your insurance. Call 985-803-8999 or log on to 123myquote.com. Bourgeois Insurance in Thibodaux. Home, commercial, auto.
Looking for hardwood floors? Then don't pay retail. Shop where the dealers buy at New Orleans Flooring Distributors. Louisiana's exclusive Aquawood dealer. The only hardwood floors that are 100% waterproof. That's right, completely waterproof. And only at New Orleans Flooring Distributors. The best selection and prices on everything from hardwood to vinyl to carpet. For a great flooring experience, call 504-249-6394. That's 504-249-6394. Or visit them on LNA Road, off Airline and Metairie, or online at nolaflooring.com.
Kaboom! It's a blowout sale at Homa's Clayton Homes. Single wide start as low as $36,000. And double wide start at $55,000. Multiple installation packages are available. Visit Homa's Clayton Homes on Facebook to schedule your appointment today. These ain't your grandma's trailers. Don't miss out on the best deal of the year. Dial 985-872-2850. That's 985-872-2850. If your old trailer house has got to go.
Join the fun as La Fête de Vieuxtemps, which translates the Festival of Old Times, kicks off this Friday evening with dancing from Down Home, Ryan Foray, Travis Thibodeau, and Foray Tradition. Saturday is Tête Dure, Mule Kick, and Velvet Sky, closing the night out with Sold Out. Sunday is Double Play, followed by Junior Lacrosse. Enjoy great food and drinks, a boucherie, sauce piquant cook-off, craft boots, carnival rides, Cajun education seminars, and much more. This weekend for La Fête de Vieuxtemps at 4484 Highway 1 at Bayou Lafourche Farm Market and Visitor Center.
Listen to Against the Spread.
Against the Spread.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 with Sean Salisbury and Kevin Todd, the nation's number one handicapper. Kevin turns outcomes into incomes. It's Against the Spread. Saturday mornings, 9:30 on ESPN New Orleans.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injuries.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Some reason there we got disconnected. Didn't even know we were talking positive about the Saints.
We were, but I just don't understand why that can't happen when Rebecca Black's on.
Yeah, amazing how that happens.
Isn't it? It never happens when Rebecca Black's on.
Gigabyte Ethernet when that takes place, my friend. That is for sure.
Probably have that backed up, don't we?
We do. Yeah, Joey has it on the go. He has it. Even if we drop out, that song continues.
Cell phones, everybody's got it.
Exactly. On and on and on.
It's like the Energizer Bunny.
998-1003. You know, during the break, Jay pointed at something, and I don't want to see it. I don't even want to read and talk about it, but we kind of have to, don't we?
Yeah, apparently.
All right, fine. CBSSports.com, upper right-hand corner, the top story. Do you see it, Raphael? Open your ears. You ready?
Kyrie Irving, who we weren't even sure was going to be back with the Celtics.
Oh, man, he made some big news yesterday, right?
Apparently.
Verbally committing, Raphael, that he wants to play and he will sign a deal with the Celtics long term. How about that? Kyrie Irving going. There's only one problem. You say no choice. All right, well, there's only one problem.
He's trying to talk someone into joining the Celtics.
Headline, Celtics Kyrie Irving spoke with Pelicans Anthony Davis about teaming up in Boston, per report on The Athletic. The Athletic says several league sources have said they believe Davis could end up either with the Celtics or Lakers. If the Pelicans were to move him, if he landed with the Celtics, he'd be reunited with former Team USA teammate Kyrie Irving. The two have already spoken about what it would be like to play together in Boston, according to a league source. Now, again, the article says this possibility is still multiple steps away. For starters, Davis would have to indicate he's not interested in sticking with the Pelicans long term, which then would mean turning down the massive Supermax extension. Then, should he do that, the Pels would have to decide if they want to trade him. And on top of that, the Celtics would have to offer an enticing trade package to secure the deal. It's a lot of things for it to happen. Here's the thing that's disappointing to me, okay? We are in October 5th. Tonight is the third game of the preseason taking on the Knicks. The guys had, what, you know, in game two on Monday against Atlanta, he had 16 points in 17 minutes, a couple of blocks and assists to steal. I mean, he killed it. It was ridiculous, right? Everyone's already on pins and needles because he'll change of the agent thing, and people think this is his exit strategy, starting and all this other stuff. Haven't even gotten to the season yet. Haven't even gotten to games that matter. And here we are with this nonsense. I say nonsense because of this. I truly, honestly believe, again, if you win, it takes care of itself. Okay? And I get that. I don't know what you could ask of Anthony Day. I've gotten people to say, well, you know, have him sign the extension now and do that, to commit to you. I think if you're AD, would you do that, though? Right? I mean, would you do that? Would you lock yourself in until you see where this team is and where it's going? So, no, I wouldn't. So you are kind of stuck in that situation, but you can't. It's sort of like, I'm not going to drive, I'm not going to go outside because I can get in an accident or something can happen to me. I don't think the Pels can operate, even though it looms over your head, and I get it, you know? And it's just the day and age we live in the NBA. As much as I love the league, this is the unfortunate aspect of it, right? I mean, this is what it is. From Kawhi Leonard to a handful of other players that, you know, look at Jimmy Butler with Minnesota, you know, trade me before my deal is up. This is what it is. I just honestly believe that he has so much clout and so much status in this organization, and they are trying to do what they can to win. And he would be walking away from about 230 to 240 guaranteed. I think there's more on your side than not. I mean, I think this is taking a conversation of going, hey, how cool would it be to play together, right, and making it a little bigger than it is. I mean, I'm sure he's probably talked to several players about teaming up, coming to the Pels, or going play here and going and do that. I don't know. It stinks, dude, because you already have trouble getting fans at the Smoothie King Center. And I think the last thing this organization and this city wants to hear is that, you know, guys are already planning to team up and go play somewhere.
This story doesn't bother me because Boston, like story number 57 that Boston's going to somehow acquire Anthony Davis. This story doesn't bother me. However, you made the comment that the Pelicans fans are on pins and needles, and for the first time, I am too. The fact that Anthony Davis did change his agent does concern me, because what have the Pelicans done? Yes, they went out and made the splash trade and got DeMarcus Cousins. They weren't able to re-sign him. He left. Rajon Rondo brought him in as a free agent. Not a lot of people were interested in him. He played well. You didn't re-sign him. You haven't been able to land a big free agent. Think about it. In the Anthony Davis era, who is the biggest free agent that the Pelicans have signed? Maybe Rajon Rondo? That was the biggest? Boogie. Solomon Hill?
Well, Boogie was traded.
Boogie was traded. Yeah. So they haven't been able to land a free agent.
Julius Randle,
but still, he's in his, you know, he's...
According to joining intern, Jahlil Okafor.
That's yet to be Julius Randle as of right now.
Oh, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
But you see my point.
I understand your point. No, I do.
And Gus, here, you're at a point that this organization, number one, two things have to happen. Anthony Davis needs to have one of those Russell Westbrook seasons. He needs to average 40 points a game, 20 rebounds, be that guy that's just putting up ridiculous stats that everybody says, man, I'd love to go play with that guy. There's two names out there. Jimmy Butler, you're probably going to have to trade for him, but maybe you make that move. Think about what he does for this franchise. Jrue Holiday and Jimmy Butler at the guards. You have two defensive guards who can match up with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I think you've got to put everything you've got into trying to get Jimmy Butler here and try to take the Paul George route. Let's get him here, and let's try to get him to sign once he's here. The other one, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yep.
You go out and try to get him.
Giannis?
Yes.
Really?
What are you going to give? But how are you going to get him?
Yeah. Try to get him as a free agent. You have to try to get a splash signing.
Okay, these are all great wish lists.
But you got to do it.
I get
if
that.
You want to keep Davis.
Here's the problem. You only have so much money.
I get that.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Well, then how are you going to do that?
How's Golden State doing it? They're finding ways to do it, Gus.
Well, some of the Golden State players have taken discounts to do that.
Well, most of them were drafted. Draymond was drafted.
Right, but Clay they're all coming drafted. Up and Clay's well, coming and saying he's going to take a discount.
It's easier to keep them than
100% agreement with you.
Right.
But you still have to sign those guys. And if Clay Thompson's going to take a less money, you've got to get somebody here who can change the image of this franchise of being the franchise that can't sign anybody or keep anybody.
So you think they're battling that, the image of this isn't a place to come win?
Right.
Okay.
I mean,
I'd say they're more battling keeping the franchise in New Orleans, because if you let AD walk, then your whole franchise is going to be gone.
That's a good possibility. The problem that I have with this story. This is the problem that I have with all these stories, is that you guys are bringing up valid arguments and points, and that's the discussion that's now. Instead of, dude, have you seen the first two preseason games, Elfrid Payton getting a couple of assists, Julius Randle, 7 assists in the game. I mean, instead of talking about that,
right?
Pels fans are now going, well, you know, I can see this happening, and then if he leaves, why would they stay?
We're tanked.
That just bothers me, man. It stinks. Like, we can't even enjoy that, you know?
It bothers me also. Don't get me wrong. I'm just, when stories come out like this,
that's what kind of concerns me.
Like
I said, look, I got a text earlier, and they're like, well, you know, AD needs to come out and say, AD said for the last several years he wants to be here and win. I think they go back to what he said in training camp, in which he says, I want to focus on this season. And they're taking that, and instead of saying, I want to be here long term, they're saying, he only said this season. Well, you know, again, I mean,
here's the question that you have to ask.
My wife can come home tomorrow and tell me, you know what, I'm done. I mean, I can't live every day. I guess what I'm saying is this. If I do everything that I think I can do to keep Mrs. K happy and at home, you know what I'm getting at? So I'm not a jealous person. Because if I worry and spend every minute every day, she may, you know, hook up with somebody or may think, you know
what? I understand that.
You don't do something. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I would be like, then I'd be a nervous. I can't operate that way. You know what I'm getting at? So I'm like, dude.
It's like you give it your 100%, but
right.
people are always telling you.
I'm looking at what the Pels are doing. The Pels last year said they went out and go get Mirotić before Boogie got hurt, right? The Pels with Dell Demps have made moves. Some work, some didn't. But they have made moves.
Right.
Gail Benson has gone out and said, we're going to win. I'm going to do what it takes to go out and do that. So ownership is different than what it was for Chris Paul. They want to win and succeed. They've invested in the facility. They've invested in the team. They've given extensions enough to the coach and general manager to equal AD's deal. So I think the understanding over there in Airline Drive is, let's see where we are when this deal comes up, and then we'll make sense of it. Because, look, I think you have to also understand, dude, if he is the best player in the NBA and they're not winning and there's nowhere to win, can I blame him for saying, well, let me go somewhere and win? I can't. That said, I think by the time that deal comes, what if the Pels have been 3 years in a row to the second round or pushing to the Western Conference, you know, finals in that game, maybe in that last year? Do you think Anthony Davis is walking away?
No,
you get what I'm getting at?
I do, but I think what a lot of Pels fans fear is, and it was my thought process, what is the reason for Anthony Davis firing his agent?
I think there's a handful of reasons that are business-wise.
Maybe he's not getting enough endorsement deals, and he feels like he's been short of that.
Do you see him around town?
No, you don't.
Okay.
And that's legit. But you can't say he's not getting enough. He's maxed out on his contract.
Well,
so it's not the contract.
Yeah, I don't think it has to do with the Pelicans, is what I'm getting at. I think it's how
he's
seen and
perceived.
In
the spotlight. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't even say like he's an attention hog or anything of that nature. That's not what we're saying, but I think there's a certain level of, well, hell, everybody else is sort of
under appreciation.
I totally agree, because, like I said, you look at, I mean, the guy was an MVP candidate, right? And I know this show talks an awful lot Pels and talks a ton about him, but I'm asking y'all listening right now, how many people last year talked about Anthony Davis on a day-to-day basis during football, just after football, or maybe even until the end of the season after Boogie got hit? You get what I'm getting at?
Right.
I'm talking about to where, you know, they're wearing the jerseys and are doing all of that. And again, you look around. I mean, I said this the day he changed agents. Name me one local product that has attached itself to Anthony Davis. Now, I don't know if his previous management, you know, an agent, were asking too much. But why the hell is Zatarain's attached to Boogie Cousins and not Anthony Davis?
You know what's surprising?
You know what I'm saying? It's like, right. Why is Tabasco or Smoothie? I mean,
and that's
why is there not a local product or company in this state that's not attached to the player that can give you global recognition?
Yes.
Global recognition.
That's valid.
That's the difference between the NBA and the NFL. Yes, Drew Brees, people love him here. People are starting to respect him more nationally. But people in other cities could, I mean, that's Drew, he's the Saints quarterback. You get what I'm getting at?
The NBA
has the ability that their players are loved, beloved, watched, and their jerseys are sold outside of the area in the city they play in. That's the difference between the NBA and the NFL to me. And that's why I've always said AD can be bigger than Drew Brees because it's a more global game. It's not that I think he's better or he can do more, he can bring something. But again, I think he has that opportunity. And I think if I'm sitting here and I'm AD, I'm like, dude, I'm not on a, I mean, LeBron has, you know, this mural on a wall in Cleveland. I can't find a billboard on AD. Why does he not have a signature shoe?
And that's the Pel's fault.
You know?
That is.
And that's what I'm getting at. And that's what I'm saying. So
I think he's working on a shoe right now.
But that's what I'm getting at, right? So I think that's where that comes into, you know, into focus. I honestly don't think
it was because he wants to move.
And again, I can only go on what I see. And what I see is, or what I haven't seen, are tweets or Instagram posts of unhappiness or attaboy to guys that sign or, hey, Kawhi, go get yours. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't seen him do that. When Boogie left, I didn't see, well, nice job, Dell. Or, you know what I'm getting at? Nothing, if anything. What did he do when Boogie left? He went and got Julius Randle. You get what I'm getting at? Like, I haven't seen anything or lack of seeing from Anthony Davis that gets me to believe I don't want to be here right now.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Would y'all agree with me, though, that there's a lot of pressure on Alvin Gentry to have at least the season that they had last year? You lost Rondo. You picked up Alfred Payton. You got Frank Jackson back. I think if this team takes a step back and struggles to make the playoffs, I think it's going to make it less attractive for free agents to come in. If you can at least stay where you're at and go in as a four seed or maybe even higher, if you can somehow manipulate your way in there and Anthony Davis has that MVP-type caliber year, then maybe you open up the door to a free agent coming here.
I don't think Alvin Gentry's in trouble.
No, I don't think he's in trouble.
Well, no,
but I think there's pressure on him to have a good
cemented
year.
Well, years
look,
to come.
I think there's pressure on everybody from this aspect of it. You got to win.
Right.
You got to win and you want to win. And again, those guys want to win and play. And obviously when you look at Drew and some of these other players, I mean, they're here to win too. And there's a reason they've invested in money. Again, that's what I'm talking about. Drew Holiday was given the money. You know, I mean, before Boogie got hurt, management, ownership, they were going to sign Boogie long term. So that's what I'm getting at. I don't think you've seen when players bow out and leave, there's reasons, okay? Kawhi bolted the Spurs because of the injury situation there. He didn't feel they treated it right, and he got his little feelings hurt because certain players thought that he wasn't putting – again, that was an internal created issue that happened amongst itself, and you can see reason behind it. Jimmy Butler got traded to Minnesota, doesn't care for how it's running there. He wants to go, right? And you look at where Butler and Uri want to go. They don't even want to go to winning teams. You know, Butler wants to go to, I mean, not total winning teams, but he wants to go to Miami and stuff like, you know what I'm saying? He's
right.
Not saying Golden State. He's not saying the Lakers and LeBron. He's not saying certain things. So I just don't think that's it. I could be completely wrong, man. AD could be sitting there and have everything mapped out to where he's out of here.
I mean, we saw it with Kawhi.
Yeah. But I just said, though, with Kawhi, there was an injury issue. He didn't care for the way the organization treated it. He didn't care for some of the players.
But you really didn't start seeing it until during the offseason.
That's what I'm getting at, though. But there was a reason I can pinpoint.
Right.
This is the reason. Somebody tell me why AD wants to leave here other than they haven't competed for a championship. Well, hell, other than Golden State and one or two other teams, they're not winning.
You're right.
And you kind of seen it with Kyrie.
And that's what I'm saying.
When he left Cleveland.
Right.
But when I made the comment.
Cleveland's different, though. He wanted to be the guy and he couldn't play with LeBron.
Right.
when I made the comment that there's pressure on Gentry, it wasn't that the Pelicans might fire him, but it puts pressure on Gentry that if they don't have the good year, then the new agents in AD's ear saying maybe you need to leave and go somewhere else.
Right.
I don't think Gentry's in any way, shape, or form in danger of losing his job,
right,
but I think there's a lot of pressure on him to have this team playing good ball because you want a guy like Jimmy Butler saying, hey, I'd go to the Pelicans if they're willing to trade for me. You're not seeing that right now. That's where we got to get this franchise to, so we don't lose Davis and then end up losing the franchise.
Battleship Ernest, again, this is how I agree. He goes, this story isn't even really a story. Players talk to each other all the time, and this is Kyrie reaching out to AD. How much you bet AD reciprocated and asked Kyrie to come over here instead? But that part won't make national news. Look, I agree. I think at the end of the day, I mean, if they're on the team together, who wouldn't talk like that? Like,
those guys see that all the time. Boogie and AD, when they talked in midcourt that time after the game, Boogie even said, come to Sacramento, come play with me.
And AD said,
come play in New Orleans.
Like I said, and there have been moves and there have been things that have happened since that discussion that the Pels are in a better situation than when he asked Boogie to come here. You get what I'm getting at?
Right.
So I can it happen? Absolutely. I'm not writing it off. I hate when I see a headline like that because instead of spending the 15 minutes like we just did discussing it and going through it, nationally, I promise you on First Take and PTI today, this is going to be a topic.
Yeah.
I promise you it's going to be a topic.
It'll be probably
the
topic.
What? Since the Pels are where? In New York, it's going to be a topic. And that's the thing that bothers me because you have people here that we're already trying to get into the darn Smoothie King Center to come support this team because you have an MVP candidate, which is and could turn into a reason of, dude, why do I want to play here? 18,000 showed up to Staples Center to watch LeBron for a preseason game, right?
Right.
That can turn into a reason. Remember, I keep saying, give me a reason. That could turn into a reason. He could get absolutely tired and should be when he walks out and there's 7,000 every night. You know? Could be. Could be. Why shouldn't I play in front of a, packed house?
If this team with Alfred Payton and Julius Randle can do what they did last year with Rondo and Cousins, then you might get an Antetokounmpo sitting back saying, I'm the final piece to put them into the championship.
Yeah.
I think that's
really a long shot.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah.
But that's where you might be.
That's the exact same position LeBron's in, and everybody's talking about LeBron being a four seed with the Lakers.
We're at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal Street. Rafael Esparza, you are up, my friend. Time to talk a little odds with him. You can call in as well, 800-998-1003, or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Hour one is always brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you're injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. You're listening to ESPN in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy Buick new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way to say thanks to all of you for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that new or pre-owned any make and model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the World Wide Web at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
What's the Call? Associated Pump and Supply with 30 years plus of dewatering experience. Our staff will size up your job and solve your drainage issues in no time. From large-scale municipal dewatering projects to smaller residential jobs. Call Associated Pump and Supply, 985-851-7077 or visit AssociatedPump.com. Associated Pump and Supply, a proud sponsor of the Nicholls State Colonels.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Are you looking for a delicious meal and a great spot to watch all the games? Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap at 132 Royal Street right off Canal is that and a whole lot more. With outstanding Southern Coastal Cuisine dishes such as shrimp and grits, more than 50 craft beers on tap, 15 TVs, craft cocktails, and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Old Saint is not your average sports bar. Enjoy the 2-for-1 draft happy hour from 3 to 7 weekdays and make your reservations through Open Table or visit online oldsaint.com.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
Man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Ah, yes, the smiling face of Rafael Esparza. Who doesn't like seeing Rafael in person?
You know why he's smiling.
Why is that?
Who'd you bet last week?
Who did I bet last week?
Yeah, college, you had a big bet.
Oh, LSU, thank you. I said plus. I said they would score 40-plus points. I'm
give
right.
The Tigers their credit.
I just said I wanted Tiger to score 40 points.
What was your over-under on the beginning of the year?
Oh, yeah, I'm still collecting cans. I'm still collecting cans for Scott Alexander and that.
Well, what did you have?
Seven?
Seven wins, I think. Seven or seven and a half over.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now looking good.
That was a lot of people. Well, a lot of people said that.
It would have to be
A disaster. A complete disaster. And the sad part is I like Florida this week. I mean, not Florida. I like LSU this week.
You think they'd be Florida?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's start on that. When you take a look at this, the last two times they were in Gainesville, they were close games, right? 2014, it was 30-27. And then last year, 17-16 was the final. And, look, they have some things that I think have shown this year. Where I actually
they have
confidence.
One thing this year. That
okay,
they
what is that?
The quarterback play. That's all it is.
That's what I was going to say. To me, one of the things that give me confidence is Ensminger. To be honest with you, yeah. I think the play calling has been like this, Rafael. I don't feel like when I watch that game that players are being asked to do something that they're not comfortable in, and I think he's playing to his strengths on that team. Because you had question marks at every position group. Line, receiver, running back, and quarterback.
I didn't have question mark on running back.
You didn't?
No.
But they're not as strong as they have been in the back. I mean, look, Brissett and
LSU always produce. They're like Wisconsin. No, they always produce a running back.
Somebody's going to be
that. Do you think they're NFL backs?
Not now, but it could be.
Okay, but that's what I'm getting at. Like, you knew at the start of the season these guys are backs, first-round picks. So, but I feel like they're using them right enough. I don't feel like it's always the run game. I don't feel like, hey, we're trying to push the ball down the field or it's just, you know, quick hitches and slants. I just feel like the game calls have been enough to where Burrow's been comfortable. And to your point, if there's a third down that needs to be made or a drive that needs
he's
to be
making
had,
it.
He's made
and
the
I
right
think,
decisions.
And I think that's why Burrow, I think, should get the credit. He's letting the offensive coordinator call a totally different game than if he
because
was just
of the confidence in him.
Yeah, than if he was just an ordinary quarterback. I think Burrow gets more credit than the offensive coordinator.
The win last week at Mississippi State by Florida wasn't a high-scoring game. Do you think it's because of the coaching, knowing the players, and all that other stuff? Or I guess I'm asking you is this. How good is Florida? I don't know.
Their defense is pretty good. I mean, I'll give them credit for that. But I think this game Burrow's going to score early. LSU's going to put the 7 points up early. And I just don't think Florida can go toe-to-toe with LSU's offense, who's averaging over 35 points a game in their last three games. Their offense looks really, really good. And if Burrow puts up 7 points early, can Florida match that?
I agree. And look, yeah, I was looking at it this week, and I want to ask your opinion of this scenario. I know I'm way ahead of the gun. I didn't and do not think LSU is a playoff team. That being said.
They're not.
That being said, if they can pull off the upset against Georgia and they lose to Alabama, play respectably, there's a good chance Mississippi State they can win, Texas A&M, Arkansas they can run the table. They could be sitting with one loss to Alabama without having to go to Atlanta. They don't have to play that game because Alabama would go. Could LSU get into the playoffs with a one loss against the best team in the country?
Everybody that wants to be invited to that four-team parlay should not watch what Alabama does and what Georgia does. Right. They should watch what Clemson does. Because I think Clemson has that hiccup because of that quarterback and that third-string quarterback.
I don't think they're that good.
And if LSU, let's say, loses to Alabama badly, I think the committee will want to put Notre Dame up there before LSU. They're going to want to put Oklahoma before LSU. I think Georgia and Alabama will be the only two SEC schools that the committee will be like, okay, let's put in two SEC teams. But I just don't think they'll give LSU that invitation.
For our intern over here, how good is Ohio State to you?
I mean, that was a big win against Penn State coming back, even though I did cover. Thank you for that half point. But they're good. Their offense is very explosive, and I was really impressed at how well they played in the second half. I think they're if they continue going, I think that was the toughest task. If they can beat Michigan, I think they're invited to the party.
All right, since I opened the door up, end of the season, how many teams are undefeated?
I say two.
You think two?
Yeah.
So
really, at the end of the season, two.
I think two.
Who are you willing to go as the undefeated teams? Alabama, probably. Who do you think's the other? I agree with you with Clemson. I think Ohio State gets tripped up somewhere, even though they both have soft schedules. I think they both get tripped up. You think it's Notre Dame, the undefeated team, or Oklahoma?
I think I'm going to say touchdown Jesus. I'm going to say Notre Dame pulls out the big surprise. I think Oklahoma could go down this week. Texas has covered five straight meetings.
I was going to ask you about Texas and Oklahoma. Look, it's the annual Tom Herman thing, right? I mean, this is kind of, since he's gotten there, right? He looks terrible the first two games. It's fire him. He's not as good as everyone thinks. And then boom, 40-point game, 40-point game, 40-point game. Beats a couple ranked teams. Here he is. Now he's ranked. Here it is. Here's the fair, right? The Texas fair. It's the Cotton Bowl.
Don't say shootout. You can't say shootout.
Well, that's right. I know you can't say that. That's why I said it's the Texas fair.
I can say it.
Well, you can. Here's the thing. This would be a huge win for Texas.
Yes. I think it'd be a bigger win than the Oklahoma loss, because I think Oklahoma should have, they should have lost to Army already. I think.
See, that's the reason I'm taking Texas this week.
Yeah.
I think Army game.
Texas has covered five straight, even though they haven't won those games. They covered five straight. Even when Texas, I thought in 2016, they had a horrible team. Texas team was bad, and they only lost 45-40. I think it's going to be another lights out. Granted, this game's at noon again. Put this on a 7 o'clock game. I know they just don't want no fights and drunks all over the place at the fair after the game. That's why it's early, but yeah, I think Texas covers this one.
13.5 Miami and Florida State. This game used to be the game, right, that you watched. It was NFL players everywhere. I mean, dude, they were talking about Tiger getting out of there.
Yeah.
Even though they just hired him, they can't. I think this is an easy cover for Miami.
It is, and again, if you're an LSU fan, you're looking. You need Miami to win, Wayne, to win big if you want to be invited to the dance. So if you're an LSU fan, you watching that game, and you're hoping Miami blows them out.
What about Clemson? We talked about them. You think they could trip up. Wake Forest, look, we saw them play in Tulane. Their freshman quarterback looked like he's capable of putting up some points. I'm in the minority. I thought Trevor Lawrence was not as good of a quarterback as Kelly Bryant.
No.
I thought Kelly Bryant, that offense looked better with Kelly Bryant. Everybody else seems to think he's the second coming. Do you think Wake Forest has a chance of pulling off the upset this week?
Upset, no, but I think they cover. That's a big number.
20?
With quarterback question marks all over the place. I mean, yeah, I'm taking the Demon Deacons with the points on
but
that
you
one.
Don't think they can win it?
No, I don't think they can.
Okay, let's go over to the NFL because I think there's some games there that – are going to be fun. I'm sorry. Tulane and Cincinnati with seven.
Big, I have to eat crow because I said Tulane was going to get waxed at Memphis. So I'm eating crow with Tulane. I'm full right now. So I think Tulane can hang in. I think Tulane can cover and maybe pull off another upset.
I think that win at home against
Memphis not only motivates you, but it's going to motivate them for the rest of the season.
Look, I mean, I said this week. If you want to be a program that goes bowling, if you want to be a program that wants to be considered a winning program, 6 wins and more a year, right? 7, 8, if you want to get to that point. You're going to have to start winning in your conference. You got to get past the point where every week is, oh, I don't know, or this one's tough, or, you know, they're better. I mean, at some point, you got to beat some teams in your conference.
Yeah.
You know? So that's how I look at it this week. I mean, you got to show that you can do it.
Yeah. I mean, big win by Memphis. Fireworks scared my cats that night, so thanks.
All right. To the NFL we go. I think there's some fun games here. Let's just start with the Patriots last night. They're back?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, because you saw some of those weapons back on the receiving core.
It was a slant
fest. Because I saw it this morning on First Take. Are they the team to win the AFC? I'm not there yet. But I do think, you know, they're...
But the AFC championship total could be like 80. if it's like Kansas City and New England or something like that, the over-under could be 80 points because there's no defense in the AFC.
Packers-Lions, Detroit's a one-point favorite. I have no idea how good Detroit is.
Yeah, Publix all over Green Bay, the wise guys all over Detroit. So last time I checked, the Vegas were winning no matter who won this game. I'm leaning towards the Lions. I think that big win that they beat the Patriots at home, I think gets them motivated at home to play this. And how healthy is Green Bay? And Green Bay has no wide receivers playing this game. All their top three are out for this game. They called me if I wanted to play, and I said, no, I can't.
You talked about the Chiefs earlier in the AFC Championship. Big game against Jacksonville, that defense. Does Pat Mahomes keep it going for the 4-0 Chiefs? Or what's the over-under on Jalen Ramsey comments?
Over-under on it is 10.5.
Wow, that's a big number.
I've been telling people I still think the Rams are the best team in football in the NFL right now. But if Kansas City, let's say, blows up Jacksonville on a short week, and that Jacksonville defense that I believe is better than the Denver defense, I think you have to put up KC really, really close to the Rams as the best team in football. Because watching Kansas City's offense, like as I'm watching Montreal Alouettes, the CFL team, with their movement on the offense and the wide receivers going all over the place, it's like watching CFL. I like Jacksonville plus the 3 in this one.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think they get
just
waxed.
Because it's
there's
a short
no
week.
Fournette, though.
It's a short week and a defense. I think it could be a very, very defensive game for Jacksonville.
Really?
Yes.
Denver had some success against them last week on defense.
Well, I don't know. I'm going. I think they cover.
Yeah.
I think they beat them.
I mean, look.
It's going 10 points.
3 points to Chiefs favorite at home.
According to Vegas,
they're even on a neutral site.
I thought Blake Bortles was going to get beat up by Tom Brady, and they pulled off the upset there. So maybe Bortle mad at
magic. All right. There you go. This is a game, to me, of two disappointing teams so far this season. Pittsburgh, 1-2. Falcons, 1-3. Had the tie in Pittsburgh as well. Obviously, if you're a Saints fan, you'd love for Pittsburgh to get it together right now because, to me, Atlanta goes to 1-4, dude. In the NFC, I don't think you make the postseason if you drop to 1-4. No. So, to me, this is a season-saving game for Atlanta. Am I wrong on that?
And it's not. They're going 1-4. I think Pittsburgh, that defense is Atlanta still has major injuries on it, especially in the secondary. Yeah. There's no defense in this game. I wouldn't be shocked if both teams hit the high 30s. I think Pittsburgh squeeze out a victory. I would not be shocked if they win like a 38-30 type of game.
What about the Giants? We just played them against the Panthers. Panthers favored by 6.5
six
at
points.
Home.
Yeah, there's two games that smells trap to me. This game right here because the Giants' offense is pathetic, and the other one is the Monday night game that I'm sure we're going to talk about.
What's that?
Why are the Saints only 6.5-point favorites? At home?
I mean, that's
Drew Brees breaking records on Monday night TV.
Washington's only given, three turnovers. They beat the Packers in Washington before the bye.
But it screams trap. Every time you hear it on TV, Saints on TV, Brees breaking records and stuff like that. It's to me, that number should – if Washington, let's say, played last week or let's say the Saints had a better defense –
right.
That number's a solid 7, probably juice on the Saints. Why is it 6.5? That tells me right there that we still don't have any confidence with the Saints defense.
Is it you don't have confidence in the Saints defense, or you think Washington being 2-1 be a little bit better than
Saints defense? Because they had a bye week, so, I mean, teams usually come out strong in the first half on a bye week. But right now, that just tells me we have no confidence with that Saints defense.
Is there I mean, look, I guess MVP, look, it's Mahomes, it's Goff, it's Breeze, maybe, the three I'm going with right now.
You know what?
Trying to ask you, is Kamara the offensive player of the year right now? Because it's different than MVP.
Probably, I would say probably, depending on how they finish. But for me, I totally agree with Fox Sports did yesterday, saying Drew Breeze was probably most underrated NFL player. I totally agree on that because he's probably, even if he breaks records or they make the playoffs, he's not even going to be a fart in the wind, may you mention, in the playoffs. It's going to be Goff, Mahomes.
Yeah.
He's not even going to be mentioned at all. You're always going to have to throw in Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, if they both make the playoffs. You won't even hear Drew Brees' name.
It's weird, right?
It is, but I always tell people, if you want to be MVP, you want to be famous, you need your face out there. Drew Brees just does not have his face out there enough.
Maybe he needs LeBron's agent.
Possibly. Yeah,
the management company. Do you have the management company for LeBron?
I'll get you that number.
Yeah, there you go.
I've met him quite a few times at NBA Summer League. There's management.
Vikings and Eagles. Philly just a 3-point favorite. I saw a stat that the Vikings are one of the best teams against the pass, yet the worst team in yards after the catch. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I saw something.
You saw that stat? Yeah, on ESPN, it was on the NFL show, and I'm like, wait a minute, that makes no sense. I saw it last night on Van Pelt. Yeah,
yeah, I think it was on that.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me. How can you be the number one team against the pass? Yeah. But apparently if they do catch the pass, you can't tackle them.
I don't like the Eagles. I think I'm going to start fading them all season long. They just not have not
they don't
shown
look the
me
same
anything.
As last
They're not
year.
Even close. So I think this is a big game for Minnesota. If you drop another game, I can't believe they
one,
put
three,
one
and
three.
One.
And then who's still in first place? Super Bowl shuffle.
All right, so you didn't tell me who you got as we close out here, Redskins or Saints?
Why isn't that seven? Like, you got to take Drew Brees Monday night at home. I'm taking.
I think it's a 10-point win.
I'm taking it. It's. I can see that. I think it's going to be a lot of fireworks. Washington's probably going to put up points against that defense because I can't bet against that defense.
Dude, Alex
until
Smith.
They show me something.
I mean, can't beat Alex Smith apparently.
If they can stop the run and Alex Smith becomes one dimensional, I think this could get out of hand. I think it could be a double digit win.
Yeah, well, I mean, I see.
You know, Adrian Peterson's going to be jacked up that game. So. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, LSU-Florida game, it's two hated teams, McGregor, McKee. There's a lot of hatred coming on this Saturday.
Let's wrap with that. Does McGregor get the win?
McGregor beats him if he knocks him out in the first round. If Khabib gets him on the ground in the second round, I think he taps.
Really?
I say McGregor taps.
Oh. Is that an upset?
No, because McKee's the favorite, minus 160. Oh. But the Irish money's coming in. Took three six-figure dollar bets on the Irishman, Conor McGregor, today.
Wow. What do you think it goes off at?
Depends. I think Vegas will probably have Khabib probably like around minus 130. I think the offshore will probably have minus 150, minus 160.
That's incredible. All right, Rafael Esparza, as always, follow him over on Twitter at VSI Doc Sports. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. Enjoy your – look at that healthy salad.
It is. It's a grilled chicken Caesar salad what I got going
man,
on.
That's
so
healthy.
There you go.
Must be feeling good.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
He's got a bikini weather.
I got TV tomorrow. Tide works.
There you go.
Got to make sure I look good. We can come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. Still to come, Ken Berthelot, bottom of next hour. Barry Hurstius at the top of next hour. Why is he on? I will play something that was released this week. A little excerpt, about 5 minutes long, of Sean Payton basically saying the NFL was out to get him. Where do you kind of sit on that? We'll play that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Join ESPN 100.3 FM on Monday evenings at 6 live from Rotolo's Pizzeria in Thibodaux for the Nicholls State Coaches Show with Coach Tim Rebo. Join your host, the voice of the Colonels, Brian Johnson, as he interviews coaches, players, and adds insight on upcoming games. Along with Nicholls State athletic updates, you'll enjoy great pizza, calzone, salads, pasta, and wraps from Rotolo's Pizzeria in Thibodaux. Join ESPN 100.3 FM on Mondays at 6 with Coach Tim Rebo and Go Colonels.
We parents hear our kids say lots of things that can get us pretty worked up. Things like,
look, Ma, no hands.
And,
ouch, that hurts.
Look, you'll never completely stop worrying about your kids. But you can breathe a little easier with free or low-cost health insurance through Medicaid and CHIP programs in your state. The truth is, they're covering more kids and teens than ever before. So even if you've applied in the past, even if you don't qualify, your kids can now be eligible for regular doctor and dentist visits, prescriptions, and more. So the next time you hear,
ooh, I don't feel so good.
Relax. Your kids can be covered.
Get us kids covered today. Families of four earning up to $49,200 a year or more may qualify. Just go to insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Frank's Supermarket is focused on customer service, quality products, competitive prices, and specialized service to the offshore oil industry. Let Frank's catering department do the cooking for you. The bakery has fresh breads and rolls, sandwich trays made daily, veggie trays, chicken salad, homemade chili, cakes, and pies. Need catering for a wedding, bridal shower, funeral, corporate meeting, or home party? Call Frank's Supermarket today in La Rose, Golden Meadow, Lockport, and Des Almas. Online shopping now available at franksupermarket.com.
Yeah.
I'm Casey Gistler, the voice of high school football for ESPN 100.3, inviting you to join me and Marlon Favorite every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for Prep Weekly, presented by De La Salle High School. We'll break down key games, give you interviews with coaches and players, and updates from all the schools throughout South Louisiana. If you love high school football, tune in to Prep Weekly, presented by De La Salle High School. You'll find it every Wednesday evening from 6 till 8 on ESPN 100.3.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
So the show called In Depth with Graham Bensinger was talking about Sean Payton on Bounty Gate. I don't know if you've seen this. I've retweeted several people in the area have done it as well. It's kind of the point and the gist of it. Give a listen.
All of a sudden, we just go on this tear. Forget just the Super Bowl, just a tear of 3 years where we were kicking ass. We were doing everything to keep that, and the only thing that could stop us was the f***ing Bounty Gate.
After leading the Saints to a 2009 championship and playoff appearances the following two seasons, Payton hit the lowest point of his coaching career. The NFL accused the Saints of running a bounty system orchestrated by defensive coordinator Greg Williams, whereby players received cash bonuses for injuring their opponents.
What do you feel like, looking back, you did wrong?
Look, as a head coach, you're responsible for your staff. And when you have one outlying coach that is a little bit overzealous, you know, you're responsible for that.
There's a prominent football writer who wrote a negative article about you and said something to the effect of how can, you know, Sean Payton, who's micromanager in coaching,
how would he not know that
Absolutely. One of his coordinators the night before a game's meeting with half the team about this?
Listen, he's meeting with the defense. No, and make no mistake about it. It wasn't us saying, hey, this thing didn't – it was the idea that it continued for 3 years. Look, our league's had a history where when you get into the postseason, well, you're playing – you think you're playing hard. You're playing hard to begin with. It wasn't injure and get this. It was, hey, this is what we need to do to be successful. And obviously the rhetoric – and it's still used by Greg today. I mean, it's crazy.
You said – around that time, quote, it was frustrating at times to sit back and hear a lot of things that have been painted in a certain way that you know aren't true. Like what?
There were so many. One of the things that we've seen, and it's just the truth, our league's no different than a large political party. They're experts at pushing their message through the media. Look, it was in full force, it meaning the league, the machine, in pushing their message out early.
When the NFL investigation comes out and said and found that you initially lied when asked about the existence of it and then instructed your, I guess, defensive assistants to lie, what was your reaction?
It was brutal. It was such a rigged – I can't even begin to tell you. The more and more people looked at it where the information came from, you know, the disgruntled Saints employee who happened to miss 2 weeks of work and never reported to any one of us where he was, that we knew we were firing after the season. The disgruntled employee who happens to work for the league now, like just got hired last year. And I happen, you know, we get wind from former league employees saying that this was a deal done. And the Saints, we knew better too. We've done a lot of things well. But as an organization, we didn't handle that investigation very well at all.
There is no question that there was a bounty program in place for 3 years. I think that that is bad for the players, for the game.
Commissioner Roger Goodell ultimately handed down some of the most severe penalties in league history.
All that was pretty ridiculous.
Look, it's one of the weaknesses of our commissioner. There's too much emotion. When the penalties came down, it was foolish.
As punishment for Bountygate, the team was fined $500,000. And among numerous staff and player suspensions, GM Mickey Loomis was suspended 8 games, linebacker Jonathan Vilma for the entire season, and Greg Williams indefinitely. Though some punishments were later reduced, Sean Payton's was not.
And then I remember when Mickey called, and I said, what is it? And he said, well, you're suspended a year. And I was like, a year? You can't talk to anybody in the league. You can't talk to any coach. You can't talk to any player. It was unprecedented.
We'll finish that up here at the top of the hour when we begin. It's just another minute and a half afterwards. But he mentions that the late Tom Benson got phone calls about trying to fire Sean Payton.
From other owners.
Yeah. And like I said, it's an interesting thing because he, for the most part, and the reason I'm playing is we'll talk about it with Barry Hurstius at the start of next hour, is I've never heard him openly flat out say like that. Like, they were out to get me. And they were in a league was wrong on this. And Barry wrote a piece that says, you know what? They owe the Saints and the team an apology. Look, they stopped the Super Bowl run.
They did.
They stopped the Super Bowl run.
It's clear that Goodell wanted Payton fired, not the fact that owners said it. When you suspend a coach for a year, not many teams would stick behind that coach. And he thought for sure he had him. And Benson stood behind him.
Hour one brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. Hour two of the Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans. It's not safe. It's not safe.